You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome to the middle of the week. Thanks so much for being here. We have much to discuss, some results from our caller contest. Yeah, we better get that thing moving considering the Final Four is just a couple of days away. Welcome to the day, and we have a great deal to share with you as we get started here. Angel Reese, farewell. She is bidding adieu to LSU. See you later, Angel. Enjoy your life in the WNBA. Meanwhile, Iowa versus LSU showdown exceeded the hype. We dreamed, they delivered. That was by Nicole Arabak, who will be joining us in mere seconds. And I've covered college sports and all kinds of sports for a long time. But reading Nicole's coverage, really all year long, but especially this past weekend, made me have to recalibrate my thoughts about enjoying what you do. Because I'd have never seen anyone savor what she was doing the other night up in Albany. Nicole, thank you very much. I know you're worn out before you head to Cleveland, but thanks for being here. And I'm just going to kick back. I want you to tell us all about it because, man, it was fun following what you had to say.
It was such an exciting day. It was one of those days, and we've all had them, where you're just like the whole day moves slowly because you're just so excited to cover or go to whatever you got at night. And it was like the anticipation level. I can't even really describe it. Like, you know, it was right up there with some of the best events that I have covered. And it's part of the reason that I knew that, you know, a lot of people were going to be tuning in, although apparently I had estimated like 7 to 8 million in my mind because it was going to be on cable and a Monday night, and I was 5 million off because it was so popular and everyone else felt the way that I did, that it was the event. You needed to make sure all of your stuff that day was done so you could sit in front of your TV and watch this game. And I was thinking about it because it really didn't need much introduction. Like 10 million people watched these teams and these stars a year ago. So you've been primed for it for an entire year of the idea of a rematch between these teams. Obviously there's different personnel on both teams, but the storyline was just right there for everyone. And it was incredible to see it deliver right from the beginning, that frenetic first quarter, the fact that Caitlin and Angel were both in double figures by the end of the first quarter. He just delivered right out of the gate. And so you knew that there were going to be people who maybe hadn't set their alarms to it and that were going to feel like they needed to get there. And then you saw that because it peaked at 16 million people on ESPN. So it was beyond even my wildest dreams for how the actual game went, that it was tied at the half, that it was, you know, as compelling as it was and as back and forth as it felt with the different runs by both teams. But I felt lucky to get to be there and to get to cover it and then have a front row seat of a game that I think we all knew the magnitude and the moment was ready for.
Nicole, I've seen some people on television and then had the opportunity to be courtside, and it just appears different. And I'm wondering, having covered a number of Caitlin Clark's games, what is it like to watch her literally directly in front of you?
Yeah, it's unbelievable because I think, you know, you see on TV that she really doesn't have any limits on her range because we've seen the logo threes. But to watch it in person and just see, A, how quickly she just decides to pull up, but to actually see how far away she is and how the little amount of space that she needs. And obviously there's been a lot of conversation about Kim Mulkey's strategy and really just having like Haley Van Lith all by herself trying to keep up with Caitlin, and Haley doesn't have the size and the length to really, she couldn't even get her hand in front of the ball very often on those passes. But it doesn't take much space. you know, someone will give her a pick and she just needs like a sliver and she will just launch that ball. And it's like with anyone else, you would say like, maybe this isn't a great shot, but you can't say that on her, even when she's had games where the shot wasn't falling, because you've just seen it happen so many times. That you know that she doesn't have range, that you know that she has the confidence to make those shots. I thought it was really interesting. Lisa Bluter said at halftime that, you know, in the first half, the goal plan was she wanted her to drive to the basket and distribute and kind of like do some things different. But she said like she could not have told her that at halftime, because she just could see it in Caitlin's eyes that she was just going to be launching those types of shots. And obviously they all fell. So many of them fell in the third quarter. But it's just, it's miraculous to watch. And then also when you're there in person, this was the first time I'd seen her in person this season, like the noise level from the fans, the amount of people who crowd the tunnels to watch her come in, and then to how much time she spends signing autographs after the game, like all of that becomes really obvious in it, because it's magnified, it's right in her face. And the level of stardom, it's so cool to see the little girls and the little boys who do, you know, are fortunate enough to get her to sign something. And they just look like so starstruck and like so in awe that they had this moment with this superstar. It's really amazing to see, like you see all of the stuff that we see play out in numbers of viewerships and attention, but you see it on such a micro level that it's really touching.
Talking to Nicole, you mentioned Kim Mulkey, and I do want to get a thought from you on the weekend of Kim Mulkey. We heard so much about the post piece, and then it turns out that the most controversial piece of the year ends up coming from the other coast. Just your thoughts as somebody who's a serious journalist about all the hype, and then, you know, what that article showed or didn't show, and then what happened with the LA Times column that absolutely blew up.
Yeah, it was an interesting week of media criticism to be in, as that did dominate a lot of the coverage. And there was just this feeling of kind of like anticipation, the lead up to that Washington Post article, really for the last couple of weeks. I had talked to friends over there. I knew that it was going to be a profile that was going to take like a hard look at her. She's a complicated person, just like anybody. So I wasn't terribly surprised at it, in the fact that it wasn't some major investigation. There was like no smoking gun. But I do think that, you know, a lot of people, maybe if they didn't know her backstory, maybe learned some things. But a lot of it, you know, again, we've already heard from Brittany Griner and other people over the course of Mulkey's career. So it was interesting that that sort of died down once the article came out. And then you had this this rant that she gave about the LA Times column that I don't think people in the press room had read. I had not read it. And as she was ranting for 4 minutes, I pulled it up and I couldn't believe what I was reading in the lead of the story and the language that was being used. It felt like it was something someone had written in like 1998 about women's athletes. And it was insulting to, obviously, to LSU. And there was a lot of like misogyny and racism baked in there as well. But also I thought it was insulting to UCLA and the language that was used to describe them as well. So it took a few days, but eventually the author did apologize. The LA Times obviously took those parts out of the column, but it just felt incredibly lazy to present a matchup as like good versus evil, and with all of the other undertones that were in that column. So good on Kim for calling that out, because that is absolutely the type of coverage that needs to stop when we're talking about women's athletes, and especially at this level.
Nicole, let's talk about this weekend, because it's just so interesting to think that South Carolina is playing NC State. South Carolina has been the story, one of the stories of the year for many years, and it's almost as if they're waving their hands to get some attention, even though they're undefeated and the number one team in the country.
It's totally true. I mean, it was really interesting on Sunday to be in Dawn Staley's press conference. They've cut down the nets and they're back to the Final Four. And she even got asked about it, kind of feeling like almost anticlimactic, because we're just kind of like totally under the radar because of what we were all anticipating on Monday, which was this incredible doubleheader with, you know, with Caitlin and Angel and Paige and Juju. And she wasn't a part of it. South Carolina was not playing on that day. That was, you know, we were all like, oh, it's going to be like the most anticipated day in women's basketball history. It was interesting. It was just an interesting dichotomy there. And she got asked about it. She said that she was okay with it, fine not being in the spotlight. But hopefully she would be in a week, which would mean obviously that they would be cutting down nets or at least playing for a national championship, which we all expect them to do. But I do think that that does kind of speak to the way that they've gone about their business this year. It's been very methodical. They got more attention last year going for that perfect season. I think once you do that, even though they didn't complete it with a championship at the end, I think it what didn't surprise people that they could do it again, that they could have a perfect regular season. They had a couple scares, but this that level of excellence, I think, is expected from South Carolina under Dawn Staley. And, you know, they also addressed some of their weaknesses in perimeter shooting last year. Like, that sticks. I mean, they don't really have any weaknesses. They have so much depth, so much size. It's really hard to imagine any of these final teams, really anyone, beating them this year. And we did talk about them that way last year, although, again, you know, maybe you could trade 3 for 2s with them last year, and now you can't really do that with the perimeter shooting they have. But they are kind of just floating under the radar. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing as you're trying to win a national championship, but also it is interesting because you're seeing this elevated growth and interest in the women's game, despite the fact that South Carolina might just win this whole thing pretty easily, right? And I think that's pretty healthy because it does speak to the parity everywhere else. And that's something that you didn't have in those years where it was UConn that was super dominant. You didn't have all of these other, you know, great games at the Elite Eight, Sweet 16, second round game level like that we see now. So even if South Carolina cuts down the nets when all is said and done, still a remarkable tournament because of how many entry points there were for so many fans at so many levels that made it such an interesting tournament, even if it ends the way that we all think it might.
Incredible conversation with Nicole. Thank you so very much. And we'll be watching all weekend long as the Final Four heads to Cleveland this Friday night. We head to the break with a lot to do here today. Your phone calls are around the corner at 855-242-7285. Some more guests, including the starting quarterback at Florida. That's at 6:30. And Walker Hayes, the country music star. I rode on the Rose Bowl float with him. He's a big Bama fan. We'll talk about that as well as his country music career right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. A great conversation with Nicole about the women's Final Four, and we did mention at the very top, in case you missed it, April Reese declared her availability for the NBA draft today. The WNBA draft. Maybe the NBA draft, too. Let's start with Archie in North Carolina. Hello, Archie. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. This is Archie. I want to talk about the Alabama football season this year with Kenneth DeBoer. I think Alabama is going to have a really legit shot at making it back to the college football playoffs.
Yeah, I think they're in good shape. Most of the predictions before the season, Archie, will have them ticketed for the playoff. They'll be ranked somewhere top five or six. We don't know that much about how we've never had a 12-team playoff before, so it will all be an education for us. Thank you for the call, though. Michael in Kentucky is up next.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Doing great, Michael. Thank you for checking in.
I'm just calling to refer to Kentucky basketball and John Calipari. I'm kind of sad that he's staying for at least another year or two, but I was hoping that things would change. But, with the coaching staff and the lineups and all that stuff that's coming in for the freshman year, like Travis Perry is committed to Kentucky, and he is only about 12 miles from where I'm at. So I just have to say that I am so thrilled that he's joining and all others that are joining Kentucky, and they should be really good this upcoming season. So, but hopefully John Calipari won't do any repeated stuff like lose the SEC tournament or lose the NCAA tournament. So, I hope this changes around for the better.
Well, I think everyone is hoping that. I think the tea leaves were not in his favor at the end of the year, but financial decisions ruled. But he is down to, I think he's out of mulligans, Michael. I think he had better win this year or else. Thank you very much for the call. Bash in Boulder, you're on the air.
Bash, Brother Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Bash.
Is Deacon Randy in the studio?
Randy, are you around?
Here.
Randy
Deacon
is here.
Randy.
I want to ask you, Randy.
I want to ask you a question, Paul. Before I do it, can I ask Randy a quick question if you can help me?
I can do my best.
So the other day you and Eileen from the Bronx had a conversation about NC State being the stepchildren of the state of North Carolina. So could you please ask Randy, what does that make Wake Forest then?
So, Randy, if NC State is the stepchild, what does that make Wake?
An illegitimate love child.
An illegitimate love child.
That is
but,
the
you know,
perfect
you,
answer.
But at least you're going to Wake, right?
Yeah, that's a good school.
Private school.
Academics.
Good reputation.
Right, golf. Oh, good reputation.
You're
well,
out,
let's be honest
here. I mean, Wake Forest is known for golf. That's where Arnold Palmer went.
Oh, my goodness, Paul. We're talking about Arnold Palmer level of history here.
Hey, by the way, Arnold Palmer started he was the beginning, but, I mean, there have been an endless stream of great professional golfers who have gone to Wake Forest.
All right, no disagreement with that.
And by the way, Bash, I realize you missed the Arnold Palmer era, but he's only considered
I did
probably the most popular golfer of all time.
More popular than Tiger Woods, Paul, let's be honest.
I would say in his day, yes. Arnold Palmer probably was more popular. I said in his day, not today, since Arnold's been dead about 10 years.
Fair point. I can't disagree with that. So back to the question I wanted to ask you, Paul.
By the way, the Wake Forest guy across the room said he didn't care whether you could disagree with that or not.
I don't care.
Randy, throwing some shade.
Randy cares if I disagree with you or not. Go crawl under a rock, Randy. That's all I say. So, Paul, so today I saw news.
Hey, Bash, one more thing about Wake Forest. It happened to be the university is like right next door to one of the richest corporations in the world.
I'm unfamiliar with this information,
well,
if you need to ask me,
it just shows your lack of it doesn't show anything other than you've had too many bongs today.
What? How does that make any sense? I don't live in the state of North Carolina, Paul. It's like, do you know what's next to the university?
You're a little bit too localized. I said corporations in the world. I didn't say corporations between Denver and Boulder, okay?
Fair point. I'm just not on that. I'm on a sports trajectory.
This corporation happens to have had a big role in sports over the years.
And I realize that. That's why you're stationed in the city, and that makes complete sense. So
No. I'm not stationed in the city. I'm not in I'm not, what's the name, Winston-Salem.
Winston-Salem. Okay. And that totally makes sense. Yes. No, okay.
By the way, Bash, nothing makes sense to you today, but keep going.
Paul, I just wanted to ask Randy a question about Wake Forest, and you turned this conversation completely around.
Actually,
you
I haven't done man. That, but I do appreciate your call. We're heading to the break. We have much more to do on this Wednesday afternoon. Your phone calls continue right here.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
An update here from the Feinbaum caller bracket. I know some of you are saying, will it ever end? It will. So let's talk about where we are right now. We've got Legend and Dwayne, Handsome Joe, Dominic, Squirrel, AJ, Larry, and I mean, it's interesting. Handsome Joe had a comfortable lead until about 30 minutes ago over Dominic, and we are investigating an allegation. That's all it is. It's an allegation from an anonymous source that Dominic got his entire school to start voting for him over Handsome Joe, and he has now taken the lead. There is an online campaign, which is against the rules, by the way, even though we just made that one up. So we will continue to follow that, even though there are some, I don't mind if Handsome Joe just lost fair and square, but he had a significant lead over Dominic until some shenanigans reportedly began occurring. We have any comment from the Dominic camp, Randy?
Dominic with schoolyard on.
Okay. We do not influence the outcome. We just you decide. We report. No, we report. You decide. Who cares? None of that stuff matters. No. Jace is up next in Augusta. Good afternoon.
Hey, man, what the hell was Bash talking about today?
We really don't know. Just a lesson to Bash. If you have something to say, say it. Don't try to have a sidebar with Randy. And here's the secret, Bash. Can I speak for you, Randy?
Sure, go ahead.
Randy doesn't like you. Correct?
Hey, Randy, I like you, buddy.
I'm talking.
I like you.
Randy likes it. Now, you do not like Bash, right?
Well, he's okay.
Randy hates Bash.
He sounds half stoned every call in.
Let me assure you, he is stoned, okay? So we don't need to sugarcoat it.
It's almost like an I-Man call.
Well, no, it's not that obnoxious.
There's not a whole lot of difference between their calls now, Paul.
Well, the difference is that Bash, I think Bash means well. He's just so stoned that he can't complete the sentence. Where I-Man doesn't mean well.
Right. I-Man just goes off on rants now.
I-Man has become the get off your lawn guy.
Well, I see where AJ is getting his butt kicked on the Feinbaum.
And let me assure you, the Feinbaum staff is enjoying that. We are watching.
Yeah.
AJ, thanks for the call. Yeah, right now Squirrel is destroying AJ. Larry over. Larry leading? Larry's leading. Handsome Joe has just hired some election lawyers. Abba, what's up? Okay, apparently there's a current NFL football player who is online campaigning for Dominic. Yeah, we are uncovering the evidence. By the way, that's pretty cool if you have an active NFL star, I don't know about a star, campaigning for your man. Morgan is in Maryland. Hello, Morgan.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Greetings from Rockville, Maryland, and forgive me, I'm driving in the rain.
Take your time.
I wanted to make an observation. I think you and I are roughly the same vintage, and I thought this might strike a chord with you. When I was 10 years old, my dad gave me my first true leather basketball, and it was a Pistol Pete Maravich model Wilson basketball. And Paul, I hadn't thought about Pistol Pete Maravich in I don't know how many decades until Monday night when me and 16 million other people watched Caitlin Clark dissect LSU. And I wondered if you had any thoughts on that comparison of Caitlin Clark and Pistol Pete.
Yeah, Morgan, there is some similarities because they are singular players. In Pete's case, who did not play on one of the best teams, in Caitlin's case, she is playing on one of the best teams, and there are a lot of similarities in their play, the way they handle the ball. They're both extremely good with assists, which a lot of players are not. Yeah, I think that is a very good comparison.
And I have one other item to discuss with you, Paul. I'd love to get your autopsy on the University of Tennessee men's basketball season overall, and where do we go from here since we had the exit in the late 8.
Yeah, Morgan, I thought it was a really good season. Tennessee was in many ways the best team all year long, but unfortunately that doesn't matter anymore in college basketball. What you did in November, December, January, February, March ceases to exist once we get to the final weekend. And I felt Tennessee had a legitimate Final Four team. I think it was important to get to the final game of the regional. I think anything short of that would have been a colossal disappointment. I like Rick Barnes. I think he has a fantastic program. I have no fault.
Yeah, a good friend of mine, after we let the loss sink in a little bit, I thought he summarized it really well. He said, hey, if Kinect was Batman, he was missing a Robin against Purdue.
I think you're right.
And, I think that sized it up.
Yeah, I mean, Kinect is a generational player, but Ziegler is good. There are a lot of good players on that team, but there was just nobody else that – When Kinect missed a shot or two, there had to be somebody to deliver, and there simply was not. Thank you so much for the call from Rockville. Be careful out there in the rain. Jack is in Savannah. Go right ahead, Jack.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Or should I say vintage? How you doing today,
Vintage. Boy, that's a very generous way of avoiding the obvious.
I know. Paul, yesterday evening, I'm in my house sitting and watching this show like I normally do, right? And then about the same time, you know who come on, Iron Man.
Oh.
And you let him talk for a while. But the way you cut him off, to me, was so classic. I had to call and tell you thank you, because the caller or two before me made a good point. He just go off on rants, you know what I mean? He's not making any kind of sense to me at all, you know what I mean? I think Nick Saban leaving the program, they're more to Iron Man than to his players. It's ridiculous. But partner, I had to call and let you know, man. You did a good job this thing, whatever.
Hey, well, thank you, Jack. And I mean, I have fun with the callers, even Bash. I mean, we were just having some fun with a guy who didn't even know we were having fun with him because he was listening to the Grateful Dead in one of his earphones. But the point,
hey, Paul,
I man has gone from a fun caller, and I'm sure he'll call on today angry again. He just needs to quit being so angry.
But Paul, guess what, Paul? You calling the phrase Shavenitis. See, where I'm from in Savannah, I got a friend, long rest his soul now. He said, a hit dog will holler. So you know, corny. So he know he got that illness, and he tried to deny that he had it. But you have it. Go to the doctor. It could be cured.
Well, Jack, I am not a learned Nobel Prize winner in medicine. It can be treated. It cannot be cured. He's an Auburn guy who will never get over what Nick Saban did to his program.
Oh, Paul, before I leave, Paul, I got to say something. I'm going to call you quick. Well, first of all, I'm going to A game because that day is my birthday, actually.
Oh, really?
But I'm going to call you 4-17 because that's going to matter to all the Auburn fans, the miracle at Jordan Hare.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
4-17.
Jack, well, early happy birthday, and you call us again soon. You take care of yourself, Jack, out there in Savannah. Auburn Mike is up next. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Poor Mike. Mike was listening to the best of I-Man calls, and he missed his moment. Tom in Louisiana. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, listen. I thought Arnie was from Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Are you from Latrobe?
No. I thought Arnold Palmer was.
Well, Arnold is from Latrobe. That's where he grew up.
Did he? But did he really go to Wake Forest?
He most certainly did.
Well, okay. Well, he was one of the greatest.
And well, Arnold Palmer was, in many ways, and it doesn't sound like it because his last tournament win was in the 70s or 80s, but he was really the first modern-day sports superstar. And what I mean by that is that he was one of the first ones who understood how to make money doing something other than his sport. He had an agent named Mark McCormick, who really was the first sports agent, so to speak. And Arnold started designing golf courses, golf clubs. What else did he do? Clothing lines. He owned car dealerships. I mean, he's the guy that opened the door for every other. And he was also, and I had a chance to meet him a couple of times, one of the most personable superstars. Arnold Palmer would talk to anyone because he understood that's how you brand your name. And also one of the great characters, and most of the great stories I've heard about Arnold from other players, I simply cannot tell on a family show. We will be right back. Much more. Oh, hold on a second. There's an update in the caller bracket.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! end. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Dominic has pulled ahead of Handsome Joe. This would be a stunning upset. Chase Winovich, who went to Michigan, played for the Browns. He said, my nephew Dominic could use some help, gang. He's a great kid. Please vote. We have turned Chase into the NFLPA because we apparently think there's been some malfeasance going on in this race.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here on a Wednesday afternoon. Billy Mack is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Billy.
Oh, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I had a little, when y'all was talking about Angel Reese a while ago, I'm a first-time caller, and I've been watching y'all for a while now, watching the show, and they was talking about Angel Reese, how she, you know, portrayed herself, you know, in ball games, how she acts, and really, I think she brought that on herself. Because they everybody's saying how, you know, how they mistreating Angel, how they talking about her. But last year, after they won the championship game, when they was winning the championship game, they had a few seconds left, she ran up behind Caitlin Clark and did the "I, John Cena, you can't see me," pointed to her ring finger, and this is during the game. And I know you've seen that on TV.
Did you realize, Billy Mack, that Caitlin Clark had done the same thing a week before?
I didn't see that guy. I was just watching the championship game.
So you think she brought it on herself to be, in her words, sexualized and misogynized and?
Well, no, I think it was taunting. I didn't say it was. She brought it up in an interview with announcers on the ESPN on the show.
Right.
In a game, she said, "I am ghetto, and if anybody don't like it, I don't care."
Well, Billy Mack, you're right. She did say that, but that's where she was explaining her backstory and where she was and where she is now, and she wasn't apologizing for it either.
And then when Johnny Manziel went out to playing with Texas A&M, he went out there and did a John Cena thing over his face, and then the money sign toward the stadium in a ball game, and they took him out of the ball game. For taunting.
You're right. Well, Billy, thanks for sharing your knowledge with us. We'll get some more reaction to that. Logan is up next.
Hey, Paul. Did you mention Arnold Palmer? He has a drink named after him. I don't know anybody.
I forgot. Arnold does have a drink named after him. That's one of the most famous things that he's left behind.
Yeah, that's a mic drop moment right there for Tiger. There's no Tiger. I've never had a Tiger Woods, but
no.
I've had Arnold Palmer. So, hey, I was going to say, are you going to look into this, all these shenanigans with Dominic and Handsome Joe? I see that there's something like over 100 more votes in that particular one than anything else. I thought that was pretty funny that he was soliciting votes from a former, a pro football player?
Yeah, well, we really don't know much about Chase Winovich. I've heard the name somewhere. Can't tell you that he's on my ballot for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
No, I don't think he probably has that many followers. But I just want to say, Paul, I really want to call you about about Alabama basketball. I really enjoyed your interview with Mark Sears. And I was just wondering, man, do you think do they have any chance at all against UConn? Or is it just going to be a major beatdown? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I'll spare you the cliches that we learned in fourth grade. But, I mean, they're playing the hottest team we may have ever seen in an NCAA tournament. So I think you have you have to factor that in. One thing UConn has, the only advantage I think Alabama has is simply that UConn has been told how great they are, and that can affect teams sometimes.
Yeah, that can definitely get in their head. I don't know. I'm hoping that if they can just hit their threes, there's no way they're going to be able to match UConn in the paint with the guy they have. So, I mean, if their threes are falling, they could potentially outscore them, but that's the only thing that's the only way I see that.
I mean, to me, it is such a massive advantage from a defensive standpoint for UConn. And Nate Oates has done wonders with less talent all year. I'm pretty sure his game plan will be good, but how long does it last?
Yeah, this could be the end of the road, but I'm going to watch it, Paul, and I'm going to.
Well, hey, by the way, this is a pretty good place to have the road end in this national semifinal.
Not bad for a group of scrappy kids that.
I mean, Alabama will finish higher nationally than they did in their own league.
Yeah, and they'll finish as high as the football team technically. So
yeah.
Now,
Logan, what we need is a Nick Saban pregame speech. I mean, that will solve all the problems, won't it?
That's what I hope. He's got an office there, so Nate Oates needs to bring him in.
I think the team's already left town. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.